Hey, you.
Yeah, you.
Are you into weird shit? Yeah?
You into cryptids?
What about hauntings? Yeah, I've got a ghost for you.
Oh, you like overworld the beans.
Me too. Check out all these aliens. We have plenty. How do you feel about a good legend?
Want to hear about spooky happenings?
Yeah, you do.
Let us show you what we've got.
Hey guys, grab a drink and join us, Amanda and Sean, every week while we dive into the strange and haunting topics that have piqued our interest.
See you over at The Haunted and the Strange, wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay spooky.
You are listening to Perplexity.
We've all gotten lost at least once in our lives. It's a scary feeling, that same kind of feeling you get when you think there's one more stair at the top of the staircase. Your foot falls through the air, and for a couple seconds, you feel an onset of dread. Now imagine being lost 300 feet below the streets of Paris in total darkness, surrounded by over 6 million dead bodies. No, I'm not being dramatic, and no, I'm not kidding. This is a real place. The Paris catacombs attract thousands of visitors each year, though only about 10% of the tunnels are open to the public. As for the other 90%, they're illegal to explore. Allegedly due to flooding, crime, and risk of getting lost. But this naturally only adds to the mystery and lore of what could be hidden or living down here. Not to mention, with the millions of dead being buried here, superstitious people have declared this place haunted and cursed. There are also self-proclaimed cataphiles, risk-taking explorers whose goal is to conquer that 90% of the unexplored tunnels. But these tunnels make up hundreds of miles. It's basically an entire second city hidden underneath Paris. So what is the history behind these iconic and macabre tunnels? And what could be dwelling here today? Are they haunted? Today, we will be exploring the Paris Catacombs. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Perplexity, a mystery podcast. As always, I am your host, Kadra. If you are new to the show, hello and welcome. I tell tales every single week that have perplexed me. So if you love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more, don't worry, you're in the right place. And if you end up enjoying today's episode, I would love it if you continued to follow along. If you are a returning listener, hello, my friends, welcome back. Happy freaking Halloween. Happy 100 episodes. I'm so happy you're here. I have a great episode for you guys today, and I cannot believe that we have made it to 100. This is insane. It's such a big milestone. And I just want each and every one of you to know, everyone who's listening, everyone who's watching, you guys are by and large the reason that I have kept going. So thank you so much. I love doing this podcast. It's so much fun. I love learning new topics every week. But with that being said, everybody gets burned out here and there. And there's definitely been times that this has been a lot to do and overwhelming and tiring. It's a lot of work. So I just, you know, from the bottom of my heart, want to thank each and every one of you. I want to thank my patrons. And yeah, I hope you guys really enjoy this episode today. A couple of quick announcements and reminders, and then we will dive right in. So just want to remind everybody that if you are listening at the time this episode drops, tonight, Wednesday, October 30th, 8 p.m. Central, I will be on YouTube Live celebrating 100 episodes with a whole other story for y'all. It's going to be a true crime case, dark history, witchy vibes. It's going to be lots of fun. So that'll be to ring in Halloween in 100 episodes. I'll be chatting with you guys. So make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel at Perplexity Mystery Podcast. Patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast is where you can be getting all of that sweet bonus content. If you are just so perplexed and you need more, head on over there. I've got my cursed game series for Halloween, Texas urban legends, creepy stories from the internet, documentary coverage, side stories with all of the guests that I've been having on, all of the amazing guests I've had the incredible opportunity to have this month. So lots of stuff over there. Go check it out if that interests you and if you want to support the show. Early and ad-free episodes are as little as $1 a month. And my very last announcement, and this is so exciting. This is so cool, you guys. I, in case you haven't noticed, dropped a bonus episode on all the podcast platforms on Monday, October 28th. And that is thanks to Trevin at Live Laugh Larceny. I got to be part of the All-Star Halloween special, and it's really cool. I got to do some voiceover and play a character. Trevin wrote this whole script. There's crazy sound effects and music. We're like in this haunted house. And basically the whole concept is that we are listening to these podcasts that tell these creepy urban legends. So I got to collab with some really cool people. For people who are very much in this genre in podcasting, It's a big deal. We've got And That's Why We Drink podcast on there. We've got Creeps and Crimes. We've got Ladies and Tangents. We've got Two Girls, One Ghost. So some really cool people on there. Being able to do this with my podcasting community has been just really, really neat. And it's a great episode. Trevin put so much work into it. So I did share that on my feed on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. Go listen to it and go check out these other podcasters, please and thank you. Trigger warning for today's episode. As always, this podcast is not for children. Listener discretion is advised, and all the sources that were used for today's episode will be available down in the show notes. So without further ado, let's get into our 100th episode all about the Paris Catacombs. So the Paris Catacombs came about thanks to sinkholes and poor sanitation. Named after the catacombs of Rome, this became a place to bury the dead beginning in the late 18th century. Above ground, Paris had been having major problems. The city was quickly expanding, so lots of construction naturally had to be done. But Paris had been built directly above old mine shafts. So all of this construction was being done on unsolid ground, so naturally, this led to disaster. In 1774, a massive sinkhole known as the Road to Hell, or, sorry if I say this wrong, Rue de l'Enfer, and this would engulf multiple homes, shopping areas, and townsfolk. People would plunge 84 feet to their death. Horrifying. And this wasn't the only sinkhole because of Paris's expansion. There would be several more. In 1778, there was another catastrophic sinkhole incident. This would occur in Maine-et-Montant, and this would kill 7. These incidents led to the townsfolk being terrified and demanding a solution. Additionally, there were grave issues with how Paris was burying their dead. It was tradition to bury the deceased in communal graves on sacred church grounds, but the graves were being left open until they were completely full. I don't know the reason behind this, so if you guys know, let me know down in the comments or send me a DM. But this would naturally take months for these graves to fill. According to Dr. Aaron Marie Legacy, quote, the bodies would break down over the course of 5 years, then the graves would be reopened, the bones extracted, and moved to a charnel house, end quote. A charnel house is a vault or a building where human skeletal remains are stored. They're often built near churches and in countries where areas to bury are scarce. So one very famous cemetery in Paris that was known as the Holy Innocents Cemetery had been used to bury the dead for over 500 years. This cemetery is a big part of the story of how the Paris catacombs came to be. There was a lot of overcrowding, city expansion, and the cemeteries were running out of room. Bodies were being piled on top of each other at Holy Innocents, graves were being left open, and this was happening right by Le Halles Market, where townspeople are doing their daily shopping. So this was both a moral and a public health epidemic. Can you imagine going out to buy bread and being met with the stench of death, seeing dead bodies piled on top of each other next to the tomatoes? Not a good look. Very bad for business. Historian Rosemary Wakeman would say about this, quote, "Human decomposition mixed with the blood and guts of the market, with piles of rubbish to form a putrid stench, a dangerous effluence that made Le Halles an axis of infection and disease," end quote. There was also the fear of what was known at the time as cadaverous miasmas. I had no idea what this was, so when I looked this up, basically what I gathered is this is a now abandoned medical theory, but at the time, a lot of people believed it. They believed that these deadly diseases, like cholera and the Black Death, which were very prevalent during this time, were being spread through the air, particularly when rotting organic matter was close by. So all these people are demanding a solution. The king at the time, King Louis XVI, knew he had to figure out something. So first thing he did was in 1765, the Parliament of Paris condemned church burial for nearly all citizens. This would be highly controversial. The burials would have to happen in new cemeteries outside of city limits. This would allow the city to get cleaned up, but the law was very unpopular with faithful people who wanted to, understandably, be buried near the church and where their families had been buried for centuries. Superstitious and religious townfolk also feared they wouldn't be able to pass on. Their spirits may wander restlessly because they were no longer being buried on sacred ground. So in 1777, King Louis XVI put together a team to map and maintain the tunnels beneath Paris. Architect Charles Axe Guillemont led the project. It would take time to put together, but perhaps the dead could still be buried near their loved ones and near the church, just underground. This seemed to be the best compromise that they could come up with. So in the spring of 1780, residents living in the west side of the Holy Innocents Cemetery began to complain of being ill. They were having difficulty breathing, they were vomiting, and they felt delirious. According to a History.com article that I came across by Jessica Pierce Rotundi, after a thorough investigation, it was found gases from nearby dead bodies had, quote, burst through cellar walls and risen to the ground floor of at least three homes. A royal ordinance declared innocents a threat to the city and closed it down, end quote. So the Holy Innocents Cemetery was no more, and thousands of people had been buried here for hundreds of years. So all of these bodies had to be exhumed. This began in 1785. They were piled onto these carts late at night under the light of torches, so as not to disturb Paris residents. Each night, they were accompanied by a priest who would chant a famous Catholic prayer known as the Office of the Dead. And this was supposed to ensure that the remains of these people would be buried peacefully. They were taken to underground mines, a vast series of gypsum and limestone tunnels that became known as the Paris Municipal Ossuary, a more local and sanitary storage solution. At the time, townsfolk were calling this place the Empire of the Dead. Today, we know these tunnels as the Paris Catacombs. Dr. Erin Marie Legacy has described uniqueness and macabre of these tunnels. She has said, quote, "The catacombs are a space of equality. You have bones of nobles next to a pauper, and you can't tell the difference. Equality in death had long been a Christian message, but in the wake of the French Revolution, it also has a resonant political undertone. End quote. What was so crazy and cool about this place, in my opinion, is there were no headstones. There's no grave markers. There's no separation of classes. Due to the sheer amount of bodies, some were thrown into small rooms in the tunnels, piled on top of each other, areas that are now sealed off to the public, while others were neatly organized and piled together, as if they were brick and mortar. Being built into these artistic arcs and columns, the infamous archways, tunnels, and walls that you can see today on a tour are completely made out of human bones. These were created from the over 6 million dead bodies here. So there's so many remains. Understandably, this process, moving these in and out and building everything, would take over 2 years. But the end result was the world's largest necropolis. The Paris catacombs have been a tourist attraction for centuries. Napoleon Bonaparte ordered them to be open to the public in 1809. Some would come to mourn the dead, while others came for the morbid nature of it, seeking entertainment and going on candlelit tours. At the time, to entice more visitors, various exhibitions were installed, including a room showcasing skeletons with various deformities. Goldfish were brought in and dropped into a little pool called the Samaritan Fountain. But these fountains collected groundwater, so the goldfish couldn't survive. They were unable to reproduce, and they became blind. An entrance was also built for the tour, and all these people would go through it, reading a sign that said, "Arrête, c'est ici l'empire de la mort," meaning stop. The empire of death lies here. More recently, Airbnb even offered a Halloween special where people could stay the night here, sleeping next to these skeletons. Can you imagine? So these tunnels are hundreds of feet below the ground, and they are incredibly dark. So a black line was later drawn onto the ceiling, meant to guide anybody who may get separated during the tour. But this wasn't very helpful back in the day because they didn't have flashlights. If your candle blew out, you were pretty much screwed. Only 1.5 miles or 2.5 kilometers today is open to the public. But these tunnels are incredibly vast. Like I said earlier, it's like a whole other city. There are 200 miles or 320 kilometers of tunnels beneath the city. So similar to the ocean, basically 90% of these tunnels are a mystery. They're illegal to explore. And this has, of course, led to endless conspiracy theories, rumors, urban legends, what have you. People have allegedly wandered into these areas and gotten lost, vanished, and have never been seen again. People have fallen down shafts, breaking their bones. People have been buried alive under stones and sand. People have come off a subway tunnel and been hit by an oncoming metro. There were satanic cults operating down here. There are monsters living in the belly of Paris. Comte d'Artois, who later ruled France briefly as Charles X, had parties down here. Rumors about this place go way back. There was a rumor from April 2nd, 1897, claiming an illegal concert happened down here. There have been allegations of people stealing skulls from the carefully constructed archways, leaving little gaps. Initially, workers would replace these gaps with new skulls, but eventually they stopped. It's said if you see a gap in the line of skulls today, it's likely one was stolen as a souvenir. I also got a bit of an inside scoop from one of my friends, Adelaide, who is from Paris. When I asked her about the catacombs, she had some interesting things to say. According to her, there are allegedly hidden tunnels leading to many secret rooms, where back in the day, alchemists were performing these rituals, trying to discover mystical secrets. These were also places where secret societies would meet, like the Knights of Templar. There's also a legend that says there is a door to hell hidden somewhere in the catacombs, and if you find it, you could be whisked away into another dimension forever. Other people believe this has been a place where people could slip into different identities. Since 1955, it has been illegal to enter the tunnels, but this hasn't stopped people. Self-proclaimed cataphiles, weird name, I know, but these are tunnel explorers. They love the catacombs. A special branch of the Paris police known as Cataflix has tried to crack down on cataphile activity, but it's difficult. They seal off these private above-ground entrances that they find, but where there's a will, there's a way. And cataphiles continue to create or find new above-ground entrances all throughout the city, sneaking in constantly. And with Paris having such a high crime rate and the tunnels spanning hundreds of miles, it's pretty impossible for Cataflix to control a few people sneaking in and out. In the 1960s, illegal parties became popular in the tunnels. Some larger caves were transformed into these notorious party spots. A 7-meter tall gallery below the Val de Grace Hospital was labeled Salle Z, and it's one of the most popular party spots in the catacombs. Various concerts and raves have happened down here, making the catacombs part of the underground music scene. In 2004, officers found an illegal underground cinema and bar in the tunnels. Other people have found other secret rooms with equipment to brew things like beer. Some cataphiles have managed to create or get their hands on maps for the illegal areas of the tunnels, making it easier for them to explore. And these are coveted, like treasure maps. But they're very hard to come by, so most cataphiles have had to explore blind, learn routes in the dark, and did I mention there's no cell phone reception? Many of the private sealed-off areas are also dangerous because they've been known to flood, and they are incredibly tight, so you have to crouch down, lie down, squeeze, twist. My worst nightmare. Weak cavities of the tunnels have been sealed off with concrete, but cataphiles have been fighting back, reopening blocked passageways. They call these cat flaps, and they'll squeeze into them to explore these new areas. Regarding incidents in the tunnels, this can be a bit controversial. There are a few that have been confirmed, and many, many, many more that seem to just be urban legend. But they go all the way back to the 18th century. Among those constructing the catacombs was a mysterious figure called Decoré, and he was a veteran of the French army. He helped with a lot of the building down here. He was known to make these very interesting carvings all throughout the catacombs. Some can still be seen today. He was tragically killed during rock fall while working in here. And nobody knows where his body was buried, but a lot of people say he died there and was never moved. In 1793, Philibert Aspert, a doorkeeper for the Val de Grace Hospital, also died in the catacombs while he was exploring. It is believed he died because he lost his light source, his candle went out, and he was left to die alone in the darkness. His body wasn't found until 1804, 11 years later. And what's so tragic, too, is he was only a few meters away from an exit. He was found near the staircase area. He was identified by his hospital keyring and his clothing. In 1903, there was also a group of 25 English tourists that got lost, but luckily they all made it out safely. In 2017, there were also two teenagers, ages 16 and 17, that got lost in the catacombs. They were missing for 3 days. They were found early on June 14th, thanks to police dogs, and they were rushed to the hospital, suffering from hypothermia. But they luckily both survived. In 2019, a post was created on the Paris Catacombs subreddit by Reddit user can_make_shitty_gifs, and they were discussing the dangers of these private areas of the catacombs. The poster is a self-proclaimed cataphile, and they explain how they get requests all the time for people to guide them through these areas. I found this post pretty interesting because they shed a lot of light on the dangers of these explorations and just how much planning has to be involved. They would say, quote, "I will not give you entrances, access points, maps, etc. It is against the rules of this community and makes me responsible if something happens to you. I will not guide you down there. I'm bad at directions and mostly go with my more experienced friends. I do not know anyone in the community willing to guide strangers, and from what I know, it's quite frowned upon." They also go on to describe how many of these entrances require opening manholes and how becoming a cataphile requires years of exploring in the dirt, encountering strangers, and learning routes in total darkness. Quote, "First, I'll have to tell you, as you probably know, to not get in there. I don't think you really grasp the dangerousness of this place. Hundreds of kilometers of tunnels in pitch black, 20 meters under tons of rocks, some of it filled with water. I guess you found some maps on the internet, but be aware that those are not always up to date, as the tunnels are still evolving. Some are blocked, some fall off. Getting lost is a very real risk, even when you have an updated map. If you go alone, there are high chances there will be nobody for you if something happens. If you fall, if you're hurt, if your headlamp goes off, if you're lost, or if anything more serious happens, you will die here. There is absolutely zero cell phone signal, of course. If there is an emergency, run to the first well you find and climb up. Even if you can't push the manhole cover, you can get some signal or call for help and hope that a passerby hears you. If you cannot do that, stay where you are or in a room if you can find one and hope that a cataphile will pass near you. They usually have music playing so you can hear them a little. If by chance you're stumbling upon other tunnel dwellers, chances are they won't be really kind with you. Except if you're injured, of course. They're not monsters. There are possibilities that you'll meet some purist who will tell you to fuck off and maybe plant an artisanal smoke bomb. Non-toxic, but you can't see shit even with good lamps. That's common. Please don't go alone without someone to guide you." End quote. So it seems like these places can get pretty intense, right? They then went on to give guidance on supplies to take down there if you still insist on exploring. They also encourage explorers not to film anything because there's apparently this unspoken rule about how you shouldn't film because it ruins these spots for other cataphiles. Like, a lot of people post them on social media and then the police come in and shut them down. So before we wrap up today's episode, I wanted to talk about one of the most well-known conspiracies that has come from the Paris catacombs. This came about in the 90s, and it results from found footage that was allegedly retrieved off of an abandoned camcorder found deep in the belly of the illegal tunnels in the Paris catacombs. And it's said that this footage was created in 1993, but no one seems to really know for sure. So this short video seemingly tells the story of somebody lost in the catacombs. They're terrified, they're running through these tight, dark corridors through puddles of water. When the footage was found, all these big questions surfaced. Who was the author of this footage? What happened to them? Why did they abandon their camera, their one light source? Were they running because they got lost or panicked? And was something chasing them? So in this black and white footage, I'll try to describe this as best I can for people listening. Someone is holding the camera and running around for about a minute. Then the filmer suddenly drops their camcorder. The camcorder continues to film in a puddle lying on its side, and you hear somebody running away, but what's kind of eerie about this is there's no dialogue, there's no screaming. All you hear is like panicked breathing. And it seems to just be one person exploring by themselves, which is never a good idea. The author of this found footage is unknown to this day, but there are some theories. Nobody seems to know for sure, though, where this person went, what made them run, or what happened to them. The footage became public knowledge thanks to a TV show that came out in the year 2000 called Scariest Places on Earth. On the show, you meet a French filmmaker named Francis Freeland. And Freeland claims it was a cataphile who found the camcorder while they were exploring, and they gave it to Freeland for whatever reason. Additional clips from the footage are shown on the TV show, showing the filmer capturing spray-painted arrows on the walls that seem to guide the explorer forward. There's these hidden rooms with hundreds of skeletons piled on top of each other. Some also claim you can hear mysterious sounds when there was this digitalized enhancement done on the audio. Strange, creepy markings are also seen on the tunnel walls that have led people to speculate the person who created this footage stumbled across secret tunnels that he wasn't supposed to see. Basically, wrong place, wrong time kind of thing. And maybe something chased him out, maybe something even killed him. It also appears the camcorder was the filmer's only source of light, so why would he willingly drop it and run away? So, determined to authenticate this footage, this French filmmaker, Francis Freeland, would go into the catacombs with this crew. They managed to get maps of the tunnels, and you can see all of this on the TV show Scariest Places on Earth. They ventured deep into the belly of the catacombs. They would squeeze through the tight and dangerous areas. As they explored, they were able to find and verify where this found footage has come from, so they confirmed it did come from the catacombs. They saw the same areas where the man had been, verifying the same landmarks, the same markings on the walls. They explored for 12 hours, going through over 6 miles of the tunnels, before they decided to give up their search for the found footage author's remains or any evidence of them having been there. In 2014, Ghost Adventures decided to make an episode on the catacombs. The host, Zach Bagans, met up with Freeland to get more information on his experience there. Freeland spoke with him, but he refused to take Bagans to the catacombs, explaining that he vowed to himself he would never return there. So there have been allegations that while the footage did actually come from the catacombs, it was created by Freeland or someone in his TV crew, the creators of the show Scariest Places on Earth. Maybe they did this to popularize the urban legend, increase tourism here, or make their TV series popular. And the show does have a history of controversy, having been accused before of fabricating other material they aired. Also, the footage that has been given to the public is only about a minute long, so it seems that the full footage was never released, which is odd since it's a pretty long encounter and the person likely explored the tunnels for hours, so this could give some more clues to who the author of the footage would be. Why would you only release a minute of it? Perhaps this lack of publicized footage is intentional. On the YouTube channel That Chapter, a video was made discussing this controversy. One YouTuber chimed in the comments, and I thought this was pretty interesting. They said, quote, "I'm actually a little familiar with the Paris catacombs, and can confirm that the footage is probably real, but not in the way people think it is. Not only is exploring the catacombs not a good idea, but it is also illegal in Paris, and it's illegal for a very specific reason. There is a group of explorers that frequent the catacombs that can confirm that whenever it rains, the catacombs actually get really flooded very, very fast. Meaning, the water can sometimes even go up to waist length during this downtime. When this happens, explorers are encouraged to run as fast as they can to the nearest exit ladder to safety. However, because the catacombs is practically a maze, this is a bit of a challenge. After looking at the footage, I notice I can hear the sound of puddles as the man is running. Whoever had this camera probably noticed the water levels rapidly rising and was in such a panic to find an escape, he probably just dropped his camera on the way out. Honestly, that's all I can really think it is. Also, fun little fact, if you venture just far enough into the catacombs, you might stumble upon a secret area where all the catacombs explorers frequently meet up to party with music and the like. There's a bunch of cool things in that secret area, from sculptures to replicas of famous paintings to an actual DJ booth. In reality, the catacombs are not as scary as people make them out to be, but it is still a bit dangerous. End quote. So it seems there's really, like a lot of stories, two sides to the catacombs. One of iconic but macabre history, and one that is quite literally pitch black and full of mystery and controversy. The catacombs continue to get an average of 550,000 visitors every single year. And those are just the legal visits. Cataphiles continue to explore the tunnels, the hidden underground depths of Paris. They continue to party here and look for answers. And of course, we have to remember the history of this place. The catacombs were built in death and tragedy. They were literally constructed out of dead bodies. People who longed to be buried near the church and near their families were brought down here. But I've got to say, I find it, as morbid as it is, kind of beautiful. The lack of headstones, markers, the lack of segregation, all of the bones lying together as one. If I ever get the chance to tour Paris, I would definitely want to go here. As for the illegal exploring, I'll leave that to the cataphiles. I'm skeptical, but I'm also of sound mind enough to fear what could be lurking down here. So whatever's going on in the Paris catacombs, it is certainly perplexing. And that, everybody, is the perplexing story of the Paris catacombs and my 100th episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you did, be sure to let me know. If you're watching on YouTube, give this video a like, drop a comment down below. If you have been to the Paris catacombs, I would love to hear your experience. And if you really enjoyed, I would love if you subscribe. If you are listening on a podcast platform, add the show to your list. Hit the follow button. Since it's 100 episodes, I'm going to remind everybody that it really, really helps the show to leave 5-star reviews wherever you listen. Each time you do that, it puts the show in front of other listeners. It boosts it up the algorithms. And if you haven't done so yet, it would mean the world if you told other people about the show. Share it with 3 of your friends that love the spooky, mysterious, true crime. It would mean a lot to me. And don't forget, tonight, if you are listening at the time this episode drops, Wednesday, October 30th, 8 p.m. Central, I will be on YouTube Live doing a whole other story for you guys to celebrate Halloween and 100 episodes. You don't want to miss it. I'll be chatting with y'all. It's going to be tons of fun. And if you're listening after the live show has come out, don't worry. You can still go watch it. Go to my channel and go to like the lives tab and you can go listen late. Drop a comment and let me know if you enjoyed the show. And if you really want to support the show, join the Perplexed Society, patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. There's tons of perks, bonus content, merch, stickers, more interaction, a little community. You also get early and ad-free episodes, and that tier is just $1 a month. If you want bonus content, if you want merch, then go check out the $3 and above tiers. And if you have a creepy or mysterious story that you would like to share, I would love if you sent it to me at perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. I love listener stories. I would love to read your stories on the show. Other support links like my Buy Me a Coffee link, my Amazon wish list, my merch is all down in the episode description. You all are amazing. I hope you have a great week, a happy Halloween, stay safe, and I will talk to you guys tonight and next week. Bye!
Thank you for listening to Perplexity, a mystery podcast, hosted, written, and produced by Kadra Brennan. If you enjoyed today's episode, tell the world about it by going to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leaving a 5-star review. It helps the show more than you know. Contact, support, and merch links can be found in the episode description. And if you have a story to share or a topic request, send an email to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. Cager would love to read your story on the podcast. Until next week, stay curious.